A lot of people sent this one to me. This Steve Jobs' daughter story, taking aim at the new iPhone 14. This happens. It seems to me, when you have a new Apple device and it's making waves and it's doing views and there's a lot of attention on it, it's like a big wave. And when you have a big wave coming in,
it becomes a monsoon.
No, or you have no. It has tsunami. It has to go back.
Oh, okay.
It comes in, it goes back. It has to. There has to be like almost equivalent force of people that are not super into it.
Uh huh.
Because they're sick of hearing about it. Everyone knew that, and they have no, they don't want to buy it, or maybe they do want to buy it. Whatever it is, scale and scope. It's like popularity, or it's like so many things in life. Well. Comes with the territory that you're going to have a new iPhone launch and there's going to be people that are on the opposite side. They're not, it's like, you know how you have enthusiasm around products, enthusiasm around brands. It's almost healthy that not everybody buys into it. Can you imagine if everybody was of the exact same viewpoint?
Yeah.
I mean, good products are good products. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And I enjoy them as much as the next, maybe even more so than the next, because I created businesses around gadgets, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I try to dedicate my whole life to it, but it's not to the extent where,
It's rare.
Like, I'm not, yeah. I appreciate the work that everybody does, but I know at the end of the day, you're trying to sell me something. Like, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. But I got to take on this role where, you know, I can't put my guard down. Yeah, you may have delivered what I wanted in the past, but I'm gonna take a peek. I'm gonna take a look. I'm gonna think about some things.
Yep.
And you would do the same, would you not?
I agree. Very much so.
Listen, when you have people that are just there that are clapping before the presentation starts, you know what I'm saying? When you have people clapping before the presentation starts.
Self-hype.
Well, then you're going to have people that are pissed off that some people are clapping before the presentation starts. They're going to say, how can I even deal with you because you were clapping before the presentation start? Type of conversation we're going to have. And so anyway, it creates a marketplace for these opposing viewpoints because to satisfy that category of people who are looking for what's the alternative? Okay, cool. iPhone 14. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to have one. I know everybody loves it, this and that. But then you get the arguments of, oh, not that much changed. Apple's trying to grab your cat. You get all the other side of it.
Hmm.
Do you even need a new phone? They got rid of the SIM card tray. What is a dynamic island? Like, all these other things start to come up on the other side of it. And the one that most people sent to me more than anything else was the Steve Jobs daughter. I mean, amongst other things, but that there were shots fired. Although Fortune says not too subtle. Dig. I don't actually know what the dig is. I just got this thing sent to me like 47 times.
Did you read it?
No. So what's the dig?
Well, let's find out.
Okay. The daughter of the late Steve Jobs has thrown some not so subtle shade at Apple's new iPhone 14 unveiled Wednesday. Following the launch, Eve Jobs, 23 years old, shared a meme to her Instagram story showing the image of a man gleefully holding up a shirt identical to the one he's wearing with the caption, "Me upgrading from iPhone 13 to 14. After Apple, okay. I mean, it's a meme. You can't get mad at the meme. It's a funny meme. Like, it's a harmless meme, Will. No?
Well, I think people look into it a lot more because it's Steve Jobs' daughter.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's Steve Jobs. And she probably knows it's even funnier because it is her.
Yeah.
She probably...
very meta.
Yeah. Experiences this. What's up with this dog today? He's trying to get into trouble or something. I don't know what he's doing over there. He's just knocking over some kind of boxes or something over there, trying to find a place to relax. Listen, I think it's harmless. You can't read into it too much, but it's definitely a news story because of that last name, Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And also because people are looking for this particular sentiment. There's not as much of it. When Apple comes with the machinery, when Apple comes with the presentation to Hollywood caliber, People are sitting there saying, well, where's the commentary? Where's the critique? Where's the guy who's laughing and the other guy? Where's the villain in the story? Mm-hmm. Right? It's everything is wonderful and amazing and everything's going well all the time. And people are just curious, like, okay, what's the other side of it? And here's the other side of it. And this is a valid argument. Do we need this new phone every single time, Will? I've done this long enough, and it's in my best interest for you to need the phone every time, because then you might watch the video every time. Mm. But in 2022, what's the change to your life from iPhone 13 to 14? What's the change to your life what from a day-to-day?
You're asking me?
Well, sure. Or it could be hypothetical. You know, you could just leave it there. That's not the word I'm looking for, hypothetical.
Yeah. Phones are really good.
What's the thing when you have a question, rhetorical? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Okay. Doesn't matter is my point.
Yeah.
Like, we get these new things. It's minutely novel. None of these features are groundbreaking things. Uh-huh. The pill, what they don't want to call it the pill. The island is fun. Purple colors are fun. People want to know what to buy. People are trying to feel alive. They're trying to buy their way out of misery. That's what's going on here.
Not everyone.
Okay, not everyone, but most of us. Like, that's a big part of it. And okay, listen, for the record, I'm not trying to downplay the whole thing. Engineering is hard. Product development is hard. Often years, we're gonna see things that are relatively similar to the previous generation. But we have a lot of that messaging out there because of marketing. So we're bombarded with all the things we're supposed to have, need to have. Mm-hmm. And so every so often, I think we just want to see the other side of it. We want to see some justification for why we don't need it. And so there's Eve Jobs coming out and saying, meh, maybe you don't need the same shirt. Maybe you don't need, and she's using a funny meme. But of course, her last name means that Fortune has to write about it. Mm-hmm. That's all that happened there. Tim Cook says, this was a little worse.
Yeah.
This was a little worse. I'm surprised you didn't do this as a headline story, because this was a little worse.
Okay.
I didn't really like this one. Tim Cook says, buy your mom an iPhone if you want to end green bubbles. Now, I know he's on the spot and it's freestyle. I guess he was at this conference and they asked him about RCS support in iMessage. And he said, no one's asking for it. Or users aren't asking for it. Well, what is a user, a smartphone user, an Apple user, an iPhone buyer? I'm not sure, but there's definitely people are asking for it. There are many people that would like to see some standard here so that everyone can interface effectively. Mm. I believe the initial question was, I can't send my mom video. Right, it defaults to MMS. It's a complete disaster when you're going cross-platform from Android to iOS. There's a way to solve it. Apple has apparently less interest than I thought in. So, I mean, I knew they didn't want to solve it. But when you have the CEO out here saying what he said, scroll up and we'll get the quote. I don't hear our users asking that we put a lot of energy in on that at this point. I would love to convert you to an iPhone. That's the person who asked the question. But I think the person was actually sending from iPhone to Android.
Yeah, I think that's the case.
In which they said, it's really not my issue. It's like my mom's got an Android phone because that's what she can afford or that's what she likes or whatever. Uh-huh. Whatever the reasoning. Or because, you know, she likes folding phones. Tim, she likes folding phones. You don't have one of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I highly doubt that's what she's going for. But anyway, he responds with, buy your mom an iPhone to fix his messaging.
It's a bit petty.
Ooh. Kind of maybe a little emotion from Tim, which you don't normally see. Huh. You would have thought he would have had a more... I'm not saying that we need more politically correct answers, but you would have thought he would have had a more politically correct answer. Hmm. Like, we'll have to wait and see what the future holds.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that what you expect from a guy like Tim?
A bit of a canned answer.
Yeah, and it doesn't really tell you much of anything. You go, oh, okay, that's interesting. You know, maybe if this set of concerns is satisfied, then maybe we open things up and we agree to the standard.
What if he's just trying to be cheeky?
Maybe it was cheeky. and we're sitting here reading it, and it was actually funnier because of the delivery. It's possible, yeah. But you mean you got to know at this point there's going to be a million articles written. You got to know it's going to be taken out of context. Everybody's going to slip up still. But when you put those words out, when you're the CEO of one of the most valuable companies in the world, buy your mom an iPhone. Like, it's going to be snarky, even if you had the best intentions. Now, I mean, maybe it slipped out. Maybe it's, you know, internally there's jokes about these things, and you're freestyling. You're on stage. It's a Q&A, and that can happen. But it doesn't satisfy me because I want to see a standard here. Like, I just don't, anytime these things are getting walled off is creating problems for people. Standards are fantastic. I don't care if we're talking about bubble colors or lightning connectors. Mm-hmm. These things are annoying to me. They create annoyances. There is no perfect world in which I buy everyone I interact with an iPhone. Maybe in Tim's world, not in mine. That's not the reality of how the marketplace typically operates. You need to have some degree, some level of competition. Inside of that competition, you have variants, and standards help to solve problems across those variants. Like the same thing with Tesla and the proprietary chargers, which they're saying, no, open it up to everyone else now. You have to. It's we're beyond that now.
Because the reality of all of this is a guy's just trying to send a video to his mom.
Think about That's the user. It. Think about the That's user. It. And if he buys his mom an iPhone, then it's going to be his aunt or sure. his nephew or whoever it is. Problem still not solved. So I don't know. At least the benefit of these articles coming out is maybe that some of this pressure comes back on them to actually think about this, that they can feel some of the negative sentiment. I mean, they're Apple. They don't have to do anything, and they probably won't. But I don't know. If people make enough noise, maybe. Sure. We should have a standard. We should have a standard for this. Apple Watch Ultra repairs will probably cost more than buying a new Series 8. Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the materials in use alone. I was looking at the price of the straps, and I was like, oh, two straps, and you got yourself a Apple Watch SE or something like that. It's expensive. It's expensive. It's premium, and it's a quick way to put close to $1,000 on everybody's wrist. That wouldn't have even entertained the idea of a $1,000 watch not that long ago. I know it's $800. I'm exaggerating. Obviously, one of the downsides of the device is that it's not repairable. Well, obviously, yeah. Cracking it open to replace just one tiny malfunctioning component just isn't an option, and often repairs require all of a device's guts to be completely swapped out. Well, I was also just thinking you have a sapphire crystal in there. Those aren't cheap. Maybe that's one of the easier things to repair, though. I don't know, because it's... Oh, here we go. Apple gives us a price. Whew! $499. We'll check your service coverage to determine the final service fee. Estimated $499 to fix the watch, and it's $799. And then, of course, they put the Apple Care Plus right beside. They're like, that could have cost you $79.
Yeah, why don't you, dummy.
Why don't you let us become your insurance company, please, while you're at it? And you're like, I already got an insurance company. They're like, you need another one.
The Apple one.
That's right.
The best one.
That's right. No green bubbles over here.
No.
Apple promises its new Apple Watch Ultra is Tonka tough with a titanium body and sapphire glass protecting the screen, but nothing is indestructible. According to the support section of Apple's website, the $799 smartwatch targeted at athletes and adventure-y types will cost $499 to fix. Yeah. Well, that's not the most fun. If you have to do a battery, it'll be less. $99, but I guess they start at the high price, and then when they prepare you for the worst, then you see the repair bill is only $99, and you're like, I don't mind. But it's still more than your Apple Care Plus would have cost you.
Mm-hmm.
I got one of those ordered, but it's very bizarre with the ordering of the Ultra Watch, because it's the bands that are the issue. Everyone wants the Alpine bands and the orange one, and I thought for the video, the orange one would be the most interesting to look at. Like, it's the one that they used in their promo, so I thought it would be the most eye-catching. But it turns out everybody wants that band, or production wise they have fewer of them. I don't know, but anyways, in anything but the small size, the Alpine band is pretty much delayed. Same with the Velcro band, the running band. The easiest band to get in all sizes, I think it's a one size actually, is the ocean band. the swimmer band. Mm-hmm. That's just a little tidbit for you guys.
Yeah.
So I might end up with the ocean band instead of the alpine band for the video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm warning you in advance. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe I'll find an alpine band somewhere.
Yeah. Alibaba.
On the black market.
Yeah.
Tesla is going to let you vote on supercharger location. Smart. Smart. Let's do that. Because guess what, Will? We need a couple more over here. In this region? We talking about up here?
Is it? Is it that bad?
It's not that bad, I guess. There's probably plenty of people that can complain more than we can. But anyway, I was just saying, everybody...
Maybe downtown.
Well, no, listen, they can do it based on... Once you're taking the votes in, you're going to be efficient at deployment because you can see the actual volume of requests. It's lovely stuff. Supercharger network. U.S. and Canada. Automaker operates the largest fast charging network in the world. It's rapidly expanding, expected to ramp up. Yeah, well, it got to meet the criteria of all these record sales, shipping all these units. To accelerate deployment, Tesla is doubling its supercharger design team in Canada. It's an interesting, I don't even know where they work out of. Markham? I don't know. Now Tesla's announced it will start letting people vote on supercharger locations. Supercharger voting coming soon. Reply with location suggestions. Replies with the most likes will be included in the poll. Wow. They're using Twitter as well to do it, which is good. But I would think you might need something a little bit more formal. Because, I don't know. Tallying likes on
weird.
Twitter seems... Maybe just do a poll?
Maybe.
Oh, or there is a poll. Where is the poll? This tweet doesn't show the poll. Maybe it came after. Maybe I'm getting carried away here. Anyway, there's a lot of votes already in the thread there. And what better way to figure it out is you go ahead and see where those blind spots are as far as charging's concerned from people who do trips in different regions and so forth. It's a thumbs up for me as long as they can execute.
Yeah.
Figure it out. People want charging stations and so forth. I rarely go to a charge. I don't need to really go to charging stations. My lifestyle, it doesn't happen that often. So it doesn't really affect me that much. Because you got the range, you got pretty good range on those things for my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like that, the range anxiety thing is not really played as much of a role in my day to day.
Maybe on like long trips.
Yeah. Well, listen, here's the problem. Don't take any of my advice because if I go on a long trip, I don't take an electric car. So, I don't take the electric car on long trips if that's the daily commuter type. Scenario. What is this vehicle?
There's a couple of Jeep SUVs, EVs coming out. So this one's one of them.
Are you getting one of these?
They look cool, man.
Jeep is going all in on electric SUVs, starting with the Wrangler-esque Recon. Are you getting one of these?
They look cool.
You said that twice, Will. So,
this one's the Jeep Avenger.
Okay. No. You don't want that one. You want the other one.
You don't like this one?
No, you want it. I just assume you want the other one, the styling of the other one. This one is more like modern looking, I guess.
Sure.
A little more day-to-day with the curves and such. By the way, I don't mind the look of it. Okay. I just assumed you wanted the more boxy one.
I like both, actually.
In different ways.
Yeah.
I do like the two-tone. This is what I thought you would go for, the Recon.
Yeah.
Looks a little more like a Wrangler. Go ahead, Will.
I think they both have really unique styles. I don't know. I can't really choose. They're both really nice.
Okay. In different ways. One's boxier. One's got some more shapes and lines going on. You take the doors off of this one.
Mm-hmm.
What did they say? 300 miles of range? Is that what it said up there? 400 kilometers or 248 miles of range. That's the Avenger. And that's the target range. Slot into the compact SUV market under the Jeep Renegade. They didn't provide any more details. There will be an unveiling at the Paris Auto Show on October 17th. That's soon, actually. It did note, it won't be available in the U.S. So you can't even get that one. That's going to be Asia, Japan, South Korea.
Wonder why they did that.
That one's not for this market, Will. The other one, let's check the other one. Maybe you have this one.
The Recon.
The Recon. They actually don't say, but I have to assume with that styling and the popularity. Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's at the very bottom, Will, all the way down. The Recon will arrive in North America in 2024. Interested buyers can reserve one starting early 2023. You got it. And here's the thing. You have so many reservations at this point, Will. Just add another one to it. Jeep says the electric SUV will be sold in major markets around the world, including Europe. And the Wagoneer S. Ooh, that's the luxury model. That's kind of, the rear end is kind of looking like that Cadillac Lyric a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, the front looks awesome.
Yeah, that one's cool looking. That's the more luxury kind of look.
Although the name, Wagon, why?
It's that, they're trying to, it's the homage, like, to the, you know? Because it's the classic Jeep. They have the Grand Wagoneer right now. I agree with you, though. It's tough. 400 miles on a charge, 600 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 3.5. Oof. Okay. Yeah, well, listen, people were sitting and wondering what Jeep was going to do about it, or Stellantis in general, like the bigger brand, saying, hey, where's the electric truck? Where's the electric SUVs? What's holding you up? And so they got some stuff to show off. We're going to see it in Paris. Today's sponsor, HelloFresh. Introducing Chef David Bertka's Creations, a series of easy, family-friendly recipes. They got the collabs going on now. So you get even more variety, but you already get tons of variety over there, and you're doing the cooking. It's really rewarding. You know, well, you put it together, you put in the effort, you reap the rewards, you see all your fresh ingredients. HelloFresh makes it incredibly easy. Everybody's a chef. You're a chef, I'm a chef. We're all chefs. I mean, how else are you going to do salsa verde enchiladas? You're not going to just pull that out. You're just going to go to the grocery store. You can barely find a blanket that you like.
Yeah.
That you're too hot, then you're too cold. You're like Little Red Riding Hood.
Trying to make a enchilada, I'm dead.
You can't. But with the help of HelloFresh.
Oh, yeah.
Salsa verde, green pepper, black bean, Monterey Jack. 35 minutes later, you're Mr. Enchilada.
And healthy, too.
Thank you, HelloFresh.
Enjoy the freshest fall flavors. Every HelloFresh recipe includes ripe, just-picked produce that travels from your farm to your door in less than a week. HelloFresh isn't just for dinners. Shop HelloFresh Market for quick breakfasts, wholesome snacks, and even desserts. You'll find everything you need to satisfy your cravings without stepping foot in the grocery store or mini mart. Last week, I got the Beef Flauta Supreme, mainly because I love the name. It has fresh pico de gallo and lime crema. It took less than 30 minutes to make, and it was actually quite filling. Super wholesome, super delicious. Go to HelloFresh.com/LouLater16 and use the code LouLater16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/LouLater16 and use the code LouLater16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts.
We're also sponsored by Audible. Your first free listen is waiting for you. That's right. You get to try it for free, and you're going to get hooked. You're going to be into it just like I am. It is an incredible inventory over there of anything you might want to listen to. It could be like some sort of fresh release. Like maybe you need to hear about Matthew McConaughey's memoir. That could be something. But you can also reach back for some classics that you missed or that you want to listen to again from some other period of time. You might be feeling nostalgic and like, oh, let me listen to that now that I'm at this new stage in my life. See how I take it. Find myself doing that. They got philosophy books that I'm into.
Okay.
You didn't know I was into that.
Some Marcus Aurelius?
I don't know. There's some stuff that I'm into, Will, and I don't necessarily tell you everything on this show. Science fiction, fantasy, mystery, thriller, suspense, romance, which is Mo's favorite category. You got the classics in there, bestsellers. It makes it so easy to keep reading. You understand, Will, with the audio, it makes it so easy to take an event like being stuck in the car or being stuck on public transit or something and turn that into something interesting and fun. Audible will help you do that. And you don't really have to think about it. Like, you look at the subscription, even after you go past the free part, and you're like, wait a sec, this is actually a decent deal, because if I was buying all these books on a per book basis, I'm paying a lot more than what I'm doing over here with the credits and such. So if you didn't check out Audible yet, go try it for free. Tell me what you think, whether it's McConaughey or Moe's Romance. I don't know. Whatever you're into.
There's a new audio docu-series called Funny My Way, hosted by J.B. Smoove. It takes a deep dive into the lives of six black comedy icons, such as Paul Mooney, Dick Gregory, Red Fox, and a few others. You can hear how these heroes of black comedy broke color lines and made it to the top by doing it their way. It features commentary from Cedric the Entertainer, Godfrey, Dion Cole, Margaret Cho, and a few others. You can listen on Audible now. Go to audible.com/funnymyway. That's audible.com/funnymyway. Thank you to Audible.
EV startup Bollinger, acquired by Mullen Automotive for $148 million. The B1 and B2 trucks are back in the mix.
Yeah.
Back in the mix. This is great news. I love that's cool. Look, I mean, the range is not great. Who knows what the build quality is going to be like. I got to put all this in there, the disclaimers. But look at that thing. How fun would that be to have? That so box, cool. That off-roady looking box with the modular interior, so utilitarian, military stylings. So the reason I'm so excited is because they were going to do this truck. They were going to do this SUV. So the B2 electric truck and the B1 SUV. Kind of how Rivian did.
Yeah.
The truck and SUV, same kind of shape and styling and identity, but two different options. And things were getting delayed. We were going to look at one. Things were getting delayed. They're not even that far away. I don't know. Are they in Michigan, Will?
Mm-hmm.
So things were getting delayed, and then they decided, I don't think they're in Michigan anymore. I don't know. They may have moved. Things were getting delayed, Will, and they decided that they were going to just like build a platform instead.
Yes.
And they were going to do commercial vehicles and all this other stuff that, well, I mean, that's cool too, but it's not as cool as what they were working on. And so I guess through this acquisition, $150 million, is it an acquisition or an investment? Acquired. Okay, I don't know Mullen Automotive, but I hope their plan is actually to revive these things, as mentioned.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It burst onto the scene in 2015. Did you know that's 7 years ago, Will?
That's...
Holy...
You told me about it, like, a couple of years ago. Maybe 3 years ago. Man. Super cool.
Man, it's been that long sitting around.
Yeah, hopefully we can get it in the studio now.
Mullen says that with today's deal, the trucks are back on. No more pause. With years of history in Class 3 truck development, intellectual property patents, and expertise, Bollinger's decision made sense to pivot into commercial vehicle development for Classes 3 to 6. Mullen said in his release, as part of the acquisition, the company brings Mullen nearly 50,000 reservations previously taken on the B1 and B2 sport utility vehicles. With Mullen's acquisition and capital injection money, both B1 and B2 programs will begin after the start of production for the Class 3 to 6 commercial truck program. So they still got to do the commercial trucks first, unfortunately. But listen to me, Mullen Automotive, I'm talking to you through this camera lens.
Uh-oh.
Whatever you need from me to help pump this stuff, like promote it, whatever, I'll come look at it. I'll come give it a ride. I just love how far, like where they were at with the development and the approach they're taking. I understand this is not going to be a range monster. I understand we're still super early, but I've been looking at this thing since 2015 at this point. So let's do something.
You want the SUV?
It's only going to help. We're going to just get the interest going. Maybe let's go get some more reservations. They probably charge a lot of money for it, too. I just want to look at it at this point.
You like the SUV or you want the pickup?
I'll take either.
Oh, okay.
I'll take either.
All right.
I probably, you know what? Huh? I think I do like the SUV more in this scenario. The box.
Yeah.
The truck. You know, I like trucks. I might like the SUV in this scenario.
Okay.
I think it might be the better looking of the two.
All black?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, unless they got
there's
some.
There's a white one.
That's kind of looking like an old Land Rover Defender or something. No, but we're going to take the black one, Will. Okay. I like how we're buying it, and they're definitely not going to agree to give it.
The black.
They're not going to agree to give it
look
to us.
Look at that. That looks so
we're
sick.
Buying it. They're not going to give it to us. They don't have to do anything. They don't watch this show. So we're doomed either way. But on the off chance that anybody from this company is watching, we're here to help. All right? Whatever it takes. I like this thing. I don't want to see it die. Mm-hmm. Don't let it die. All right? Please. And don't make it take like another decade as well, because it's been 7 years. Mm-hmm. 7 years. Oh. Queen Elizabeth. Her death miraculously inspires Kanye West to let go of all grudges.
Yes.
First of all, R.I.P. Elizabeth, 96 years old, which is the world. You see a lot of things that have happened in 96 years. Sometimes it's hard to fathom that series of experiences. Mm. What is that? That's like all the world wars, and just doing quick maths right now.
Except for the first one.
Okay, whatever. A lot of them. A lot of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right. She just missed the first. Well, you know what, though? You would be a youth shortly after it. It would still be resonating.
Sure.
Just a whole different experience. I have a lot of respect for longevity and experience, and the power of experience.
And etiquette.
Oh,
proper
yes.
Proper etiquette.
I heard a lot when I was listening to some of the world leaders talk on the subject. They kept saying the word decency.
Mm.
Like, you don't, I'm sitting there thinking, man, you don't hear too many people described that way. But sure, yeah, etiquette, presentation, I guess that's what it's about, right? The whole,
yeah,
the whole thing. I don't know much about it, but I saw a video on Twitter of like a beautiful rainbow come up over the palace shortly after it happened.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, I don't know. I kind of like, this is
very
cool.
Special.
It's a cool clip. But what does it have to do with Kanye? I have no idea.
Kanye wants to make it about himself. Okay. And we're talking about it now.
Oh, Will, you're fired up a little bit.
Well, I just want to know if this is like a real thing that he's saying. Because
you're fired up a little bit.
Apparently, you know, I mean.
Well, do you believe that he, based on your exposure to him recently, do you believe there's anything that will have him get rid of all his grudges permanently?
Maybe the face of death, like his death or his demise.
Jesus. Nothing but the pure face of death.
Because that usually changes people.
You're talking about like a near-death experience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not death himself.
Oh my goodness gracious. You're like, yeah, death will change him.
Yeah.
It's extreme. The impact of Queen Elizabeth II's death cannot be underestimated, apparently. The loss of the longstanding British monarch has inspired Kanye West, of all people, to settle his many beefs. In a new Instagram post this morning, West posted a series of slides reflecting on the Queen's death at age 96. Life is precious, the rapper wrote, alongside two vintage photos of Her Majesty. Releasing all grudges today, leaning into the light. Well, listen, that's... I like the sound of those words. Leaning into the light. Like, those words sound good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just his Instagram prior to this happening was very not leaning into the light.
No.
He was going after... I mean, I haven't been on it recently, but he would post the pictures of the board of directors of Adidas. Have you been following this?
A little bit.
Well, anyway, he was mad at a lot of people. Pete Davidson, Kid Cudi, John Legend, Gap, Adidas, and all the people who work for them. I don't know. That's part of the thing now. That's part of the thing for him, is the up and down aspect of it. And,
yeah.
But the fact that you weren't following the most recent one, it goes to show you that there's a limit to that.
It's a little too much.
There's a limit to it.
He's changing his mind a lot.
There's a limit to it.
But I figured this one might be the one.
Public interest is
bet on that.
Public interest is interesting in that way. That like even for a person that, like you who tends to follow it, you have a threshold at which you're just over it for almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost anything. It's so hard to remain glued to something for an extended period of time. In today's media landscape, we just sort of float in and out of trends and influencers, celebrities and such. And it's, you can completely lose track of what a person's even talking about. But anyway, if Queen Elizabeth inspired him to go towards the light, then...
Good job.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. What? A muzzle? A muzzle microphone keeps your mouth in the metaverse. Why is that so? Why does that look so? First of all, that's photoshopped. That's not actually. None of them are. These are not photos. Mm. Did you notice that?
It looks pretty convincing. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Like this one, her finger doesn't have the shadow on the.
Yeah, it's photoshopped. I guess this company wants to make this device. This is like a contraption that fits over your mouth alongside with your headset. Oof. I don't know why that's so offensive. More so than the headset covering the eyes.
Because of the strap?
Just covering the mouth in general. There's spit and it's the mouth, you know?
Sure.
Headphones with active noise canceling are a useful way to tune out unwanted noises, but what if you instead wanted to silence unwanted sounds at the source? Say you're on a sensitive phone call. Well, we saw a product similar to this that actually came to studio years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it served this purpose to kind of quiet you down when you were having a passionate phone call. I don't know why you would need it, but don't buy. Look, it's called Don't Buy This Insane Gadget from years ago. This was called, what was it called, Will? Can you check the description? It doesn't even say what it was, I guess. Blocks Vox. And you were supposed to wear a headset and the microphone goes inside of there. And no one can hear what you're saying, but they can still sort of hear what you're saying. And look how painful that looks, even just watching this right now. Anyway, I guess in the metaverse, what does it matter what you look like on the outside once you're in the metaverse? Well,
yeah, I mean, it's something. Especially if you're like just all the senses are blocked. Like outside senses.
Shouldn't it just be a whole mask, like scuba diving style at that point? Like, why are you leaving the nose out? Nose, ears? It should just be a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Some type of helmet. Is this actually happening, though? Like, that's another Photoshop.
Well, this one looks
real. No, it's Photoshop.
No?
I think it's Photoshop. I don't know. Maybe.
I feel like this one's real.
Okay, so where does it say that they're actually making it? They call it the Mutalk? Inside the Mutalk is a microphone and Bluetooth hardware, which picks up the user's voice and transmits it wirelessly to other devices like a smartphone or gaming console. Automatically detects when it's being worn and starts broadcasting over Bluetooth. Initially revealed earlier this year, along with a handful of other accessories designed to improve VR experiences, the Mutalk still isn't officially available, expected to sell for $140. I don't know how real this is. I don't know what the market is. Is there anybody watching this video or listening to this right now that wants this thing? I don't know. I do want to know if that's the case.
And if it works. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure it works a little bit, but... Kellogg's wants you to add water to its new cereal. What is that for, like, calorie conscious or environment, or what is that about?
No, they came up with these...
Instables.
Bowls that have the milk powder in it. So you don't even need milk. You just add water.
The bowls come in four varieties: Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran Crunch, Fruit Loops, and Apple Jacks. They're rolling out to select Walmart stores and available nationally at walmart.com. They cost $1.98 per bowl. This is the first time that we were able to give consumers the opportunity to have a milk and cereal experience without having milk readily available. A milk and cereal experience. Everything's an experience now. Everything, even milk and cereal. $1.98 per bowl. You pour the water in and the powdered milk becomes regular milk or some version of it.
Uh-huh.
They even made the logos look faster. Look at the Frosted Flake logo. See how it's moving like you are? Because you're so fast, you can't even sit down for a milk and cereal. So you're adding the water and going from there. Delicious milk and cereal in a splash. They claim it's real milk. Cereal sales had stagnated for years, but got a boost during the pandemic in 2020. U.S. ready-to-eat cereal sales surged to over $9 billion, which is up 9% from 2019, according to data from Nielsen IQ. The bump was short-lived, however. In 2021, sales fell to 7% fell 7%, $8.4 billion, still above 2019. So they got to innovate. And here is your innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Small. Oh, what about the spoon? What do we do with the spoon? A proprietary process essentially evaporates the water off, but leaves the milk components there. So when you add the water back, this is space stuff. This is space food.
I'm excited.
It's the same great taste, same great nutrition. I don't know about the nutrition of the Frosted Flakes. Okay. Peeling back the lid revealed the cereal topped with the milk powder. I added water to the fill line, and after some stirring, the powder turned into milk as promised. Rehydrated milk. I don't see why that wouldn't work, but what am I doing for a spoon? Because it's supposed to be this thing that's on the go, but then I got to find a spoon when I'm on the go, or do I just drink it?
Well, they say bring your own spoon. Maybe they should have a spoon underneath.
Yeah, but everybody hates the spoons and the straws, and nobody likes anything, any of that.
It's made out of wood or something.
Oh, it could be an edible spoon. You eat it.
Sure. Made out of cereal.
It's a spoon made of Fruit Loops. And it dissolves at the rate that it typically takes to eat an Instaball. At which point then it's perfect to finish
now,
off.
That's an experience.
Okay, so we just improved it.
Yeah.
Oh, what a wild time. What?
This is the last one. I just want to give a shout out to this 3D artist, Jagar Patel, and he makes some motion graphics that are pretty, I guess, cozy, comforting, ASMR, I guess.
Okay.
I'll just play it.
Wow. Cool. It's like assembly line style.
Yeah.
And its logos being printed. Of course, it's all digital.
Uh-huh. But I really like the sound.
Ooh.
You got Spotify. The sounds right.
Cool. Yeah. No, I'm into it.
Yeah.
I personally like the powdery, the powderiness of the paint particles.
Ah, right.
That right there. That that short moment where it's kind of floating.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Man. Yeah, and he has like many compilations. This is just one of them.
And is there an assembly line theme to it?
I production. Think so, yeah.
It's interesting. The production having that kind of calming effect, automated production. Why are we drawn to it, Will? Robotics and assembly line, automated assembly line.
It's there's predictable outcomes.
Comfort in knowing the outcome before it happens and then repeating it.
And there's purpose.
Mm. You're left with something at the end. A progression.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, we're complicated creatures. Thank you. RIP to the Queen. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one. Yeah, we'll see you soon.